Okay, we got to get started here. Morgan, I thought y'all met at A&M, but y'all didn't meet at A&M. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Brian, is this on? Okay. Occasionally, you might see me take a little bite of something. Those of you watching, I don't know who you are, but I ate breakfast about 7 o'clock this morning, and didn't have time to eat anything between, so I might take a bite just for a little energy. All right. I'm not on any kind of diet, so I need to have that. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer as we continue in our study of the Old Testament survey. Let's pray. Now, Father, this book is under siege today as never before in American history. Certainly in world history it's been worse. But in American history, this book is under great siege. It is our purpose, Heavenly Father, to maintain the truthful, sound doctrine, the soundness of understanding these things. So we pray your Spirit will guide us as we study how to study this book. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. We're ready for 1 Samuel. Ready for 1 Samuel? Having covered Ruth and Judges, and we went through some various things dealing with Judges. Yes, sir. You betcha. Now, I didn't know her personally, but what do you got? That's Boaz. Yes. Because the other one decided not to. You know what? You may be right. You may be right. Let me see. Yeah, verse 5 continues it. Then verse 6, closest relative said, I cannot redeem it. So, at the end of verse 4, he said, I will. And then Boaz points out, well, you got to buy the land and Ruth. You got to redeem land. And then in verse 6, he says, I cannot redeem it for myself. Yes, he said he would, and then he, when he realized the full extent of it, he said no. Well, I don't know if he was not honorable in other areas, but I think that's just like, okay, we're talking business, and you say, now you know if you do that, you're going to have to buy the lot next to it, because it's all one. Oh, well, I don't think I want to do that. I didn't plan on buying that. Now you're throwing a woman in on me. That changes everything. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Now, but we're seeing how it works out, how the plan works out. No, he wasn't. We watched a movie, Ruth, a biblical made movie, not a Hollywood made. It was very good. It wasn't him. It was very good bringing all this stuff out. Okay. Okay, we come to Samuel. 1 Samuel. Samuel's one of the most interesting figures in all of the Old Testament. We all know Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David. But Samuel was an unbelievable individual in history. He was a king appointer. As a prophet, he just there's so many things. In fact, it's been said it took three people to replace him. And but let's take a look. Samuel, 1 Samuel, Israel rejects God as king, and that's the way God had established it. Introduction and outline from the NIV. Well, wait a minute, I've got my big Bible here. Let me get my NIV study Bible. My wife bought me a brand new, beautiful NIV study Bible. Okay. Do all of you have a NIV study Bible? Alright. Okay. Okay, just kind of go through some things that are important to know. Let me think. It's up on the top. Yeah.
And this says that the time of King Samuel would be the time of the kings that starts in 1051. So that says that
Don't have Saul on there. Let's see. Saul is king, 1051. Yeah. Approximately 350 years. Yeah. Period of the judges. Okay. Let's see. It says Samuel, and under title, 1 and 2 Samuel, are named after the person God used to establish monarchy. Now, I hope you know, just little things, titles, chapters, verses are not divinely inspired like the Bible is. Doesn't mean that people weren't led and all that. I'm just saying that they're not part of divine inspiration. Y'all do know that. Okay. In fact, in seminary, the joke was that some of the verses, the wagon that the scribe was in took a bump, and he made a verse break right there, because some of them are unbelievable why they broke where they did. Some of them are very good. 1 and 2 Samuel are named after the person God used to establish the monarchy of Israel. Samuel not only anointed both Saul and David, Israel's first two kings, but he also gave definition to the new order of God. 1 and 2 Samuel were originally one book. It was divided into two parts by the translators of the Septuagint. Everyone know what the Septuagint is? Septuagint, that word means 70. 70 scholars wrote the Old Testament in Greek. Okay? And about 235? Somewhere in there like that, and B.C., and that's the Septuagint. It's the Old Testament in Greek. And a lot of people use it. I'll use it once in a while to see how a Greek word was understood and relating it to a Hebrew word. It makes a good comparative study. So, okay. Septuagint, the pre-Christian Greek translation of the Old Testament, a division subsequently followed by Jerome in the Latin Vulgate, 400 A.D., and by modern versions. The title of the book has varied from time to time, having been designated the first and second books of Kingdoms, Septuagint, first and second Kings, Vulgate, first and second Samuel, Hebrew tradition, most modern versions of the Bible. Did you find the Septuagint? When? 132. Literary features, authorship and date. Author unknown. Audience, God's chosen people. Date, sometime after Israel was divided into the northern and southern kingdoms in about 930 BC. Theme, the nation of Israel transitions from being led by God through judges to being led by him through kings. Let's see what else might be of interest here. In the NIV introduction. Content and theme. Well, let's just look at what he does here first. We have 1 Samuel, 31 chapters, three major divisions. Samuel, Israel's last judge, first prophet. Saul, Israel's first king. David, God's first king. Chapters 1 through 8 of 1 Samuel, birth and call of Samuel, corruption of Eli and his sons, the ark in Philistine hands, Samuel's revival. Didn't we do this last time? No? Okay. Israel's request to king. Chapters 9 through 15, Saul, Israel's first king. Saul chosen and anointed. Samuel's last warning to the people. Saul's success. Saul's sins. God rejects Saul. Chapter 16 through 31, David, God's first king. David chosen and anointed as a boy. David defeats Goliath. Saul's jealousy. Jonathan and David form a wonderful, unbelievable friendship. Saul hunts David, and the relationship between Jonathan, Saul's son, when Saul was hunting David, leaves a lot of where Jonathan had to make up his mind. Is he going to warn his friend that his dad's coming? And has a lot of good intrigue in that respect. David flees, spares Saul's life twice. Saul commits suicide. Key people: Hannah, Eli, Samuel, Saul, David, Jonathan. Key words: king, anointed, success, sin, submission, waiting. Let me just look over here very quickly. Contents and theme: kingship and covenant. 1 Samuel relates God's establishment of a political system in Israel headed by human king. Before the author describes this monumental change in the structure of theocracy. And then secondly, the art narratives. 3 Samuel as judge. Let's see. Then that was it. Then he's got a chronology. Okay, here's a nice chronology, Mark. I don't know if you maybe look at that, but 1105, birth of Samuel. 1080, birth of Saul. 1050, Saul anointed to be king. 1040, birth of David. 1025, David anointed to be Saul's successor. 1010, death of Saul and beginning of David's reign over Judah in Hebron. 1003, beginning of David's reign over all Israel, and capture of Jerusalem. So much for the Arabs and the Muslims. They hadn't even on the scene for 1,000 years later. They're on the scene 1,500 years later. 997 to 992, David's wars. 991, birth of Solomon. 980, David's census. 970, end of David's reign. And then he gives an outline to the book. So let's go back to our book now and go to page 90. And he has an outline of the chart outline of the next page, as you can see. Samuel, Israel rejects God as king. And then under one, we got Samuel, Saul, David. That's a good way just to remember the whole book. Samuel, Saul, David. So, last judge, first prophet. Birth and dedication of Samuel. Word of the Lord, rare in those days. Call of Samuel. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him. Corruption of Eli and his two sons. The glory has departed from Israel. The ark of God in enemy hands, which stands to reason, it's dark. Who is able to stand before the Lord? Revival under Samuel, the judge. We want a king. He says a pivotal chapter is chapter 8 in moving from the kingship. Saul, Israel's first king. Saul chosen as king and anointed by Samuel. Israel makes Saul king. Chapter 11. Samuel's last warning. Fear the Lord and serve him. 12:24. Yes. Yep. Yes. They knew it, yes. But they wanted to be like the nations around them. They looked at the nations around them and wanted to be like them. Take church history. Denominations are not part of God's plan. Not only are they not in the Bible, I just think there's too many passages that even speak against them. But we just got to have denominations. We just got to have them. And people are just not content. They're just saying, I'm a believer in Christ. No, I'm a Baptist. I'm Methodist. I'm this. I'm that. No, hey, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ. But anyway. Okay. Let's go back over. The Lord, at the end of Saul, the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Then under David, 16 to 31, David selected and anointed, but the Lord looks at the heart. David soothes Saul. David defeats Goliath. David and Jonathan form a wonderful friendship. Saul hates David for everything. David marries Michelle. David was prospering in all his ways. David flees Saul, protected by Michael's wife, Samuel, and Jonathan, protected by everybody. David in hiding. David and his men. David on the run, spares Saul's life twice. David and Abigail. I will not strike God's anointed. King and the Philistines. Saul and the medium of Endor. David's victories. Saul's suicide. He asked Samuel to come back from the grave. Samuel got mad at him. He said, why are you bothering me? Page 91, summary of content, 1 through 8, Samuel's, Israel's last judge, first prophet. So he's a judge, he's a prophet, he's a king appointer, he just everything. He's unbelievable. Yep. Between the two Sauls. Yep. Samuel and John the Baptist. Yes. Beautiful. In a sense of the office of prophet, Samuel is. There is the office of prophet and the rank or position of prophet. But Samuel had the office of prophet. Well, it's recognized in the Bible, but it's Jewish. The Jewish understand that, yes. Yeah. It would be recognized by the priesthood or some hierarchy and then accepted on down. No, they're different, they're separate from the priest. See, the reason you have prophet, one of the primary reasons you have a prophet, priests are not doing their job. And because the priests failed to do their job, God raised up a special man, prophet, to come in and deliver his message. So you have all these prophets, writers of the Old Testament books, because the priests were not doing their job. God will get his message out. And if a priest will not get his message out, then God appoints a prophet. A lot of them. Yeah. Well, the good pastors in America. We have true pastors, I mean, are saved and ordained and gifted. We have false pastors who aren't even saved. Yet they pastor large churches. God doesn't have it where it's got to be. This is my plan. Now, there's artificials, false, everything. This is my plan. Okay, now what you got to remember, okay, the people are not listening to the word of God and what God wants them to do. So you have darkness in the land and no truth. It's got to go back to the judges. God's going to bring in some discipline. He's going to bring in some challenging. So a prophet comes on the scene, and he says, listen. Listen to the word of God, Israel. All Israel. You have abandoned what God has said. Yeah, here comes the prophecy. Things are going to happen. Bad things. Maybe if he didn't identify, the Syrians are going to come. These are going to come. This is going to happen. It's going to get rough. But don't worry about it, because in the long-range prophecy, God will fulfill the covenants to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, jumping over to the millennium. So in that sense, they're prophets of the future, but they're messengers of the right now. And because of the message right now, what you need to hear, they become prophets of what God is going to do in the short run generally, and what God is going to do in the long run. Okay? Always grace. Always warns. Always grace before discipline. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Brian, how different is that today? How many preachers are not teaching the truth of the Bible? How's somebody just sitting out there supposed to know? I mean, they teach lies, they teach falsehood about God, about Christ, about the gospel, about what God's going to do, and all these things. And it's always been that way through history. But the person that desires the truth, God will always give him the truth. Now, there'll be stories, we'll see it when we get to the kings. There'll be one king, and not in various cases, where the king prefers the false prophet. He'll prophesy, he's going to prophesy, I'm going to win. I want him. He's going to prophesy, I'm good. I want him. This other guy, he prophesies that I'm going to lose and the bad things are going to happen. Get him out of here. Get Elisha out of here. I don't want Elisha around me. I want the false prophet. False prophet of Israel, not just the false prophet of Baal. False prophets of Israel. And you know, who can blame them? I don't want somebody that I'm going to listen to and tell you, well, you're going to bite the dust, fella. You know, that's a hard one to take. And this other guy saying, oh man, you're going to make it. Well, you got to make up your mind. But if you're in tune to what God's plan is, you know which one's telling you the truth. So you have false prophets, true prophet. But that's what a prophet is. I don't know if we have it on the internet, but I did a study, a survey class, studied every prophet mentioned in the Old Testament and every priest mentioned in the Old Testament. And we had a good time. Okay. Let's see here. We're on page 91. Saul, Israel's first king. God chose Saul and told Samuel to anoint him as king. This is the grace of God. Saul, in terms of external appearance, position, and so on, was exactly the king of Israel, the kind of king Israel thought it wanted. How many people vote? I'm amazed that they tell me some women just vote what the guy looks like for president of this country. They just vote for his. I can't believe that. But we just vote for all kinds of reasons, rather than really what is there. And let's see. The people knew that they had sinned in making him and asking for a king, but Samuel warned them to fear and obey God and make the best of the situation. That sounds like a good sermon, doesn't it? Well, y'all are out of line, but just make the best of the situation. Saul enjoyed some early success as king, but failed to live up to his potential before God. He demonstrated again and again that he did not have a heart of obedience toward God, and I would say he did not have a trusting heart. It's not a heart of obedience. It was not a trusting heart for the leading of God like David had. Saul, toward God by acting presumptuously, issuing foolish command and only partially obeying God, only partially trusting God. Thus God rejected Saul as king, but allowed him to reign for 15 or more years until his death while battling the Philistines. 16 to 31, David, God's king. After Saul was had reigned for about 25 years. Now, let me just quickly add, this is where you want to be careful. David, God's first king. But look back up. God, under Saul, God chose Saul. So what do we mean when we say those kind of things? Well, we're saying that this is God's desire, was David, a man after his own heart. After Saul had reigned for about 25 years, God directed Samuel to anoint as king a shepherd boy named David, who was the son of Jesse, Obed's son. David was just a lad, some people say around 15, at the time, but God knew his heart was bent toward him. And 1 Samuel 16:7, David's rise to prominence began when he slew the Philistine giant Goliath with a sling and a stone. Saul, at first, liked David. Now, why did he like David? David sang to him. David calmed him down. Saul had various emotional and mental attacks, and he needed to be calmed down. And not unlike a lot of people, turn the radio real loud. Then he just needed, and David was a great singer. He came in with his guitar, his steel guitar, set up his stage thing, and really entertained. No, he sat there and played the harp, and sang and talked his pieces, which calmed Saul down. Even though David had been appointed by God as king, he would not become king until he was 30 years old. In the meantime, David fled into the wilderness to hide from Saul. David was helped by Samuel, Jonathan, Saul's son, and a band of mighty men who protected him. On two separate occasions, David spared Saul's life and refused to harm Saul as God's anointed. David patiently waited on God to make him king. During this time, David wrote many of the Psalms. In these years of fleeing from Saul, David learned to submit to authority and accept the way and time which God had worked out. Now, our Psalm 31 we're studying, it's by David. Different people try to point where it is. I'm not too much into that. It could just be at so many different times. But some of the Psalms he says what the occasion is. But if he doesn't, I'm fine with not. But there are a lot of people who try to tell what's happening in his life at that time. Theme, purpose, applicational message. The author of 1 Samuel recorded God's faithfulness to his covenant with Israel as God brought blessing for obedience and adversity for... I don't like that kind of stuff. Applicational message. Key chapters. Birth of Samuel. Call of Samuel. Y'all know the story of his birth. Samuel. You do? Anna. His mother. Look at 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel 1. 1 Samuel 1. The birth of Samuel and his establishment in Israel as a prophet. Oh, wait a minute. That isn't it. Where's the Bible story? Oh, there it is. Birth of Samuel. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tahu, the son, and it goes on and on. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, the other Peninnah. Peninnah had children. Hannah was barren. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portion of the meat to his wife, Peninnah, and to his sons and daughters. But to Hannah, he gave a double portion because he loved her and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. Ah, you can't stand religious people. This went on year after year after year. Poor Hannah. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. She got a double portion of food but couldn't eat it. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah cried and wept much and prayed to the Lord. And she made a vow, saying, O Lord Almighty, if you will only look upon your servant's misery and remember me and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head. Now, the point is that she's going to get pregnant, and I know through the history, my life history, the number of stories I've heard where women have made a vow to God, and God didn't honor and make them pregnant or whatever it was. People, we don't make vows to God. God does not ask us to make vows. This was in her own heart. This was personal. If you're led to do it, that's between you and the Lord. But you can't make that any kind of a, well, if I make this vow, I'll get what I want. It doesn't work that way. Not with our God. Okay, now that brings us, we have the key chapters, the call of Samuel, Ark of the Hands of the Philistines, revival under Samuel, Israel requested king, Saul anointed as first king, Samuel's last warning to the people. You know, when you read a list like this, let me just show you what jumps out at me. Call of Samuel, Ark in the Hands of the Philistines, so that means it's a dark time. Revival under Samuel, that means they return to the truth. And then the next thing is, they request a king. They've returned, but they still are not adjusted. They want a king. They don't want God as their king. So when you read these kind of things, you go, wait a minute. It says they're revival. And the very next chapter, they're rebelling against what God set up. And people, this is the way I want you to understand about life. You're going to have times in your own life when you're going to make good decisions, make bad decisions, all these kind of... Don't expect, like when I was a kid, Roy Rogers was always a white hat guy. He never did anything bad. Nothing. Ever. I remember we were kids. He never even went to the bathroom. He was Roy Rogers. Always a white hat. And the bad guy, always a black hat. Life's not like that. Life is not like that. So, all right, we come to page 93, and that was an assignment. So, select three of the key passages above and state in one sentence the central truth taught. Okay? Morgan, did you do one?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. He was faithful, trusted the Lord in the smaller things. He's ready for the larger. Anybody else have one? Almost quote that verse, and there's your central thought. God looks on the heart. That's what God looks on. Did you have one? No good. Why you bothered me? I love it. Very good. Very good. Did you have another one? Good. Did you have another one? Very good. Romans 13. Do you have another one? God's timing? That's why we cannot fight God's sovereign authority, appointed authority. Because God sovereignly picked them. It's difficult to remember. But He places kings in place. He places presidents in place. And whatever we may think, they're in authority. Doesn't mean we can't vote them out. Doesn't mean we don't calculate what they do, good and bad. But we're respectful. Yeah. Let's see. Did you have any? And was your... Did you have a third one? Okay. Did you have a third one? Okay. Okay, did you have another third one, different third one? Okay. Did you have another one? Okay. All right. Very good. Let's take a little break. Just a couple of minutes, and then we'll come back and keep the momentum going. Second Samuel. Everybody feel, you know, relatively comfortable with First Samuel. You have a feel about what it's about. Samuel, Saul, David, how Israel failed. God still prospered. Samuel, last judge, first prophet, king appointer. Okay. Now, 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel, King David, a man after God's own heart. Introduction and outline. Okay, 2 Samuel, NIV. So let's see if what we can pick up from this one. But even before I look, I like his... 24 chapter outbreak, breakdown. Four divisions. Yes, sir. Man after God's own heart. No. Well, okay. Man after God's own heart, but of Abraham. Something, Eve. Huh? A friend of God. Abraham was a friend of God. And that's pretty powerful. So you got a friend of God, a man after God's own heart. Maybe it was Moses. I was trying to think of, I thought maybe it was Abraham, but it may have been Moses. Was it Abraham or Moses? Look. A friend of God. Put in friend of God. Yeah, the promised land, but he could not cross over into it. Up in the mountain. That's what that people think. He's buried up in the mountain. No, but he was a friend of God. Is that Abraham or Moses? Yeah. Okay. We all just have different... We all have people we like and friends. And I think one of the difficult things, and I certainly wouldn't talk to my wife about her three children, but I can't help but believe that a parent... And it has nothing to do with, say you have three or four children. There's just one you're going to like. Just going to be friends. You love all of them. But you can't, I just think there are people we meet in life, you connect with them as friends. And David's that kind of guy. He was a ruffian. He was a sinner. But he always came back. He was a finagler, womanizer, murderer. But he always came back to the Lord. And he just kind of liked that kind of guy. and you know, Moses had his personality. And I take the Lord. He had 11 to 12, but he had 11 disciples. I think he really got along with John and Peter. He just enjoyed interacting with him. Peter was always putting his foot in his mouth. Peter was always saying the wrong thing, sometimes the right thing. And, yeah, shalom. Yeah, this is shalom. Yeah, this is shalom. Okay. 2 Samuel, 24 chapters, all about David. David's rise, David's fall. David's disasters, David's exploits. So, it's all about David. And you got David's rise, 1 through 10, king of Judah, civil war with the north, king of Judah and Israel, Jerusalem as capital, ark brought to Jerusalem, temple plans, Davidic covenant, the golden era. If he could have just died at the end of chapter 10, he'd have died on top. Alright? Yeah. David's fall, David's spiritual apostasy, adultery. You know, people make a lot about adultery. They don't say anything about all his concubines. They don't say anything about all the women he had everywhere else, but the one big adultery, and it was, she was married. Deception, murder, marriage to Bathsheba, Nathan the prophet, death of child. Do y'all know the most important thing we get from the death of David's child? Do children, babies who die before the age of accountability go to heaven? Is there any passage that we have? No. The closest we have is this one. That David said, I will recognize this baby in heaven. That's the closest we have to any solid foundation of the redemption of the person who doesn't reach the age of accountability. I'm sorry? It depends on the culture. I think in America, it'd probably be 9 or 10 for everyone, most everyone. I don't know about modern America. But you take areas of Africa, maybe 20, 25. It's a recognition of God, that there is a creator, a God being, God consciousness. And you can say yes or no at that point. I'm sorry? No education, nothing bringing it to the thought process. And you have to, at certain levels, we learn various things in our culture, different in other cultures. So the age of accountability would vary by the demand of that culture on the mind to think. In other words, just to make the point, a child in Africa still may be running around, no clothes on, and he's 10 years old. And he just doesn't, you know, hasn't gathered up, it can, hasn't put some things together. And then he starts looking at animals, looking at people, and think, okay, where'd all this come from? Starts answering the questions. Where do I come from? Where does all this come from? And that's when you start becoming God conscious. Take your typical 2-year-old, they don't even think about where they came from. They're just thinking about it's mine, it's mine, 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 mine. They don't think about that. Get a little older, start learning where you came from your mother. Okay. Came from your mother's tummy. Okay. And then they start asking questions. Start wanting to know things. And would you say it's about what starts happening? Different ages? Mm-hmm. Yeah. The education, the teaching, that's done and not done. Don't have the language, vocabulary to communicate it in. And as they start developing the vocabulary and thought process, start thinking about it, or wait a minute. Well, how'd I get here? How'd I get here, Mommy? How'd I get here? And okay, and they're just satisfied at first when you came from mom and said, oh, okay, I don't want to think about that. And then keep thinking about it, and then pretty soon you come in with the idea of there being a God. I'm sorry? Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is, to their advantage and disadvantage, to their advantage, they are brought to a supernatural consciousness earlier than a lot of people. Because they're taught about Allah very young. So they have to make up their mind. Is this the being? Okay. With who? Absolutely. The younger the better. Yeah. Absolutely. I doubt it. Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. They do believe there's a God, but then from then on, if there's a God, then what does that matter? How do we relate to Him? How does He relate to us? And there comes the big question. And that's why every culture, every person has to deal with religion. Religion is man trying to cope with God, the being of God. Okay, there is a God, or there isn't a God. There is a God. How do I relate to Him? Okay, if I'm good, He will bless me. If I'm bad, He will curse me. That's most people's view of God, view of themselves, and what they're taught. It's not the Bible, but that's what they're taught. That's where you start thinking about this being of God. The whole thing back in the 60s, I guess it was, 70s, transcendentalism, no further back than that. But the whole idea was, does God make Himself known to His creature? And if He does, how does He do it? And then that brings us to Jesus. That brings us to the Word. But namely, it brings us to Jesus. If there is a God, since there's a God, so what? How do I relate to Him? How does He relate to me? Okay. We'll form our idols in Africa and Haiti and even in America, India. We form our gods and our gods and goddesses. Some people say, no, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. And we know this is a matter of record. Livingston traveled all through Africa way back in the 1800s. And late 1700s. So what the dates are on David Livingston. But anyway, he would travel all through Africa by himself. And he would give the gospel to various tribes. And, I mean, it's just a miracle. He didn't get eaten by tribes that ate people. He did not get eaten by wild animals. He did not get bit by a snake. I mean, it is a miracle. And he just led unbelievable numbers to the Lord. And, in fact, they loved him so much that when Livingston died, England has his body, Africa has his literal heart. They cut his heart out and buried it in Africa. That's what he wanted. That's what the natives wanted. But everywhere he went, he preached the gospel. Nope, don't think so. Don't think so. He just gave them the gospel, and they loved him. Absolutely. Yeah. No. Nothing. Beautiful. Yeah. And I gave a little money, double check. I sang a check. I prayed a check. I stayed the whole sermon. And then that's it. Yeah. Yeah, I stayed away. And that's it. And walked out. But as far as any impact, none. Huh? Social club. Yeah. Nice place to meet business people. Okay. Yeah. Okay, thank you. Good. Well, I love that. That's just really cool. Okay. Now, who should be insulted, your wife or me? That's what I want to know. Which one of us should be insulted here? Okay. Let's see. We're under David's fall. We're down to death of a child, birth of Solomon, judgments of God, David's disaster, family problems, and more. He had them. Talk about family feud. Rape of Tamar, murder of Amnon, Absalom's revolt, David's flight, Absalom's defeat and death. Better leave God's authority alone, people. David's return to the throne. Absalom just couldn't handle it. And then finally, David's exploits, Gibeonite affair, David's song of praise, last words, mighty men, census and plague, David buys temple site. Keywords: prosperity, civil war, sin of adultery, murder, judgment, death, rebellion, and revolt. Not very many nice words in there, is there? Do what? Exactly where it is? Yes, yes. What? Read it. And can you just? It's what amazes me. If I were an unbeliever, not a believer in Jesus Christ, I would have to sit back and say, wait a minute. What is going on with Jerusalem? There are richer lands in Texas. There are richer places, there are other places in the world. There are more beautiful places throughout the world, in Hawaii. There are land with richer resources. And Why is everyone fighting over this little bitty? I really would. I think I would ask that. I'd want to know. I'm curious enough about history. What is the deal? I mean, my goodness, travel 1,000 miles either way, and it's more beautiful and a lot less trouble. Everybody doesn't want it. Something's about it. That I think I would become to Christ by looking at the history of Jerusalem. And just, I mean, secular looking at it, secularly, it's just da-da-da-da-da-da, and say, hey, there's something to God here. Yep. Yeah. So just, I just think I would be taken with just the history of Israel and all. Okay, let's go to 96, 2 Samuel, David's rise, David's fall, David's disaster, David's exploits. And again, I can't really worry about if it all fits that. I like that kind of division. I like to get a grip of a book or something, and so I have no problem with all of this. David's rise, Saul's death. Well, there's a good place to start your rise. David as king of Judah, civil war with Israel, the northern kingdom. David waits on God. David, king of Judah and Israel, the joint kingdom. Capital at Jerusalem. Ark brought to Jerusalem. David's desire to build a temple. Davidic covenant. The Lord established David as king and his descendant. David's military successes, chapter 8. Kindness to Mephibosheth. Defeat of Ammon. The golden era. Spirit, David's fall. Starts off with spiritual slothfulness. And people, I cannot overemphasize that. That first thing says it. You start getting lack in the study of the Word of God, thinking about Him, walking with Him, praying, and then things are going to happen. Adultery with Bathsheba. Anybody know when the adultery took place? What time of day? See, he should be at war. Women could go bathe at that time of the day. She was perfectly within her right. It's David who was sleepy, slept late, and got up. He wasn't even supposed to be around. He was being slothful. And what is that? Empty hands? Idle hands? Yeah. And he wasn't where he belonged. So, spiritual slothfulness. And then that brought him adultery. That led him to murder. And then he finally got what he wanted, the marriage to Bathsheba. Nathan the prophet comes to him. I'm sure every one of you know the story about Nathan the prophet. What he said to him, okay. Death of a child, repentance, judgment. Birth of Solomon, rape of Tamar, Amnon's sister, revenge of Absalom, murder of Amnon, rebellion of Absalom. David flees, gets out of there. Absalom rules in Jerusalem, violates David's concubines. And it just amazed me. Everybody, and I do realize Bathsheba was married, but. And, you know, he had all these concubines. Let's see. Absalom's defeat and death. David's partial return to power. Discover and revolt of Sheba. David's exploits. Famine, military encounters. David's song, last words. Mighty men, senses and plagues. David by the site of worship, Mount Moriah. Okay. He did what now? I'm sorry. Yes. That's, he was out of line. He was arrogant. Yeah, he was arrogant. Okay, summary of content, David's rise, we just kind of went through it all. David's fall, we kind of went through it. David's disaster, David's exploits. Now let's go to page 99, and we have our assignments. And the main thing is, state in one sentence, the central truth taught. Okay, did you get one? Content? God prospered. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Where do you want me to go? Thank you. Boom. Let's get this straight now. You want me to go to Nineveh? And you let it up. Gotcha. Bye. That's good. Oh, kid, did you have one? All right, what's the content? Yeah. Did you have one? Did you have one? Something only God can do. And God will do it. God will do it. Did you have another one? Yeah. All right, wait, before you go any further, what does wax mean? Wow, that's very good. Very good. Very good. Did you have another one? Continue to trust him. Okay. Did you have another one? Okay. What's the content? All right. kind of like the leading and the guiding we studied this morning. Yep. Yeah. That's the guiding. The leading, we're going to win. The guiding is a tactic. It's strategic, right? Okay. Anybody had another one? Do we have y'all did the work. I want to know. Did you have another one? Did you have another one? All right. Okay. Okay, 1 Kings. Solomon's divided heart leads to divided kingdom. Introduction and outline of 1 Kings. All right, let me go through here and just see what he says. Anything we can read from it? Yes. God divided the kingdom officially after David's death. Excuse me. After Solomon's death in honor of David. So there'd be no discredit to David's son. So Solomon, when Solomon dies, the kingdom is divided. Yes. Before David united it. Yes. And that's why, let's see here. Let's go back to page 96 a moment. Oh, you don't have the book. Saul's death. David is king of Judah. Civil war with Israel. So they were divided. And then they are united. David, king of Judah and Israel, 2 Samuel chapter 5. He took what David laid the foundation of and expanded it. Okay, Solomon is an interesting case. Most people kind of give him a break. I don't. I'm more lenient the other way, giving him nothing. I know he made a brief, in fact, we'll probably get it. I know he made a brief response to the Lord, very brief. But he was arrogant. His wisdom was not the wisdom of God. He asked God for wisdom. God came and gave him wisdom of man, wisdom of the world. That's not God's wisdom. God answered him from the place that he was. And so he is considered a wise king, but in truth he was not a wise king. He was a king after his own power, his own ways. In fact, next week I'll remember to bring to you one of the most intriguing differences between David and Solomon. And let me bring that next week. And it's just unbelievable in the Bible, the difference between David and Solomon. And we'll just read the passages, and you'll go, wow. You'll go, man, it's just so different. And if I had my Bible, I could do it right now. but I'd have to hunt. I could do it if I spent the time, but we don't have the time for it. But I'll do that with you. And then we'll talk about Solomon in that respect next week. Okay? All right? Now, let's see here. First Kings. All right, First Kings. See what he says. Title. First and Second Kings, like First and Second Samuel and First and Second Chronicles, are actually one literary work, called in Hebrew tradition simply Kings. The division of this work into two books was introduced by the translators of the Septuagint. Let's see, and was subsequently followed in the Latin Vulgate. In 1448, the division into two sections also appeared in a Hebrew manuscript and was perpetuated in later printed editions of the Hebrew text. Both the Septuagint and the Latin Vulgate further designated Samuel and Kings in a way that emphasized the relationship of these two works. First, second, third, and fourth book of Kingdoms. The First and Second Samuel, First and Second Kings is the idea. Author and sources and date. There is little conclusive evidence as to the identity of the author of First and Second Kings, although Jewish tradition credits Jeremiah. Few today accept this as likely. Whoever the author was, it is clear that he was familiar with the book of Deuteronomy, as well as many of Israel's prophets and the Holy Spirit. Let's see, three such sources, a variety of sources compiling his historical, his history of the monarchy. Three of such sources are named the Book of Annals Solomon 11, Annals of Solomon, 1 Kings 11:41, the Book of the Annals of the King of Israel, chapter 14:19, the Book of the Annals of the King of Judah. But the question, who wrote those? So we're still in trouble. Although some scholars have concluded that the three sources specifically cited in 1 and 2 Kings are to be viewed as official court annals from the royal archives in Jerusalem and Samaria. Let's see here. Theme. Author unknown, audience, God's chosen people of Israel. Date, probably around 550 B.C. Probably around 550 B.C., during the Babylonian exile. Well, it had to be late because it includes the exile. So we know it had to be later than that period. Theme, after Solomon's death, the nation is divided into Northern Kingdom Israel and Southern Kingdom Judah. So let's go into here now and see what we got. First Kings. 22 chapters, 3 divisions. Success of Solomon, sin of Solomon, split kingdom after Solomon. Chapters 12 through 22. Solomon chosen as king, wisdom and fame, temple built. He built the temple, but who laid out the blueprint? David. Okay. Temple built and dedicated, golden era. Sin of Solomon, idolatry, foreign wives, not just wives, but foreign wives, divided heart. Split kingdom after Solomon. Israel, 10 tribes north, Jeroboam king, rival worship system. They had a false priesthood. And a false temple, everything. They just, nothing was honest, nothing was true about them. Evil ways versus Judah, two tribes in the south. Rehoboam is the first king, godly Judah, and good king Asa. focus on Israel and evil kings, Ahab, Jezebel, prophet Elijah. Key people in 1 Kings, Solomon, Jeroboam, Rehoboam, Asa, Ahab, Jezebel, Elijah the prophet, Jehoshaphat. Now the thing here is you got to be able to say which of those is northern kingdom, which of those is southern kingdom. They're not all northern kingdom by any means. Key phrases. Did not serve God with whole heart. Did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The word of the Lord came. This turn of events was from the Lord. I'm sorry I didn't put in there, did not follow after the ways of David. All right, let's go to the next page. Did we have 105 in our homework? Huh? Oh, wow, okay. We better get with it then. Let's get with it. Oh, summary of kind of, well, let's look here at 1 Kings. Success of Solomon, sin of Solomon, split kingdom after Solomon. Solomon chosen as king over Adonai. David's charge of Solomon. Purge by Solomon and the establishment of his kingdom. Marriage of Solomon. Wisdom of Solomon. Solomon's rule and fame. Temple built. Temple dedicated. Solomon confronted by God and continued success. Queen of Sheba and the golden era. So Solomon became greater than all the kings of the earth. Sin of Solomon. Solomon violates Deuteronomy 17, multiplies horses, wealth, and wives. Sorry, hon, horses are right even above women. All right. Neglected to read and heed God's word. There it is. Idolatry, immorality, half-hearted. His heart was not wholly devoted to God. His wives turned his heart to other god after other gods. I will tear the kingdom from you. Death of Solomon. So God is going to destroy the temple or the kingdom, divide the kingdom, but he's not going to do it until Solomon dies in honor of David. That's God's relationship with David. Split kingdom after Solomon. 12 through 22. 12 to 14, kingdom splits. Israel, north, 10 tribes under Jeroboam. Sets up rival worship system and priesthood. Never under their proper priesthood. Jeroboam did not change from his evil ways. Ahijah, the prophet, and death of Jeroboam's son. Reign of Rehoboam in the south. Two tribes, civil war. North versus the South. See, we've just been keeping that up in American history. We just keep it all up. For this turn of events was from the Lord. Focus on Judah. King Abijah, 3 years walked in sin. King Asa, 41 years, did what was right in the sight of God. Ruled after the heart of David. Removed idols. His heart was wholly devoted to the Lord all his days. What this shows you is that it can be done. There can be a king in darkness who does it right. Focus on Israel. Five kings. And he goes through the five kings. They did what was evil in the sight of the Lord and walked in the way of Jeroboam. They made Israel sin. Focus on Ahab and Elijah. Ahab, the worst king of all, ruled 22 years in Israel. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the prophet of God. Drought 3 years. The brook of Kirith, with widow of Zarephath, at Mount Carmel, with the priest of Baal. Fear of Jezebel. You know, it's just amazing. You take him And when you study what he did through the drought, what he did at Mount Carmel with all the priests of Baal and all that, and Jezebel, he runs. He hot foots it out of there. It's just amazing. We're all different. We're all different. The flight to Horeb, appointment of Elisha. And people, let me just point out to you, one of the best studies in the Bible is the study of Elijah and Elisha. If you look at Elijah as Jesus Christ and Elisha as the Holy Spirit, because it's interesting with Elisha, it actually says, and the Spirit of God came upon him. It's just a picture of the Holy Spirit, how he took Elijah's place, just as the Holy Spirit replaces Christ in the church. And Elijah and Elisha, it's a tremendous study. And while you're reading, I encourage you just to look for that distinction. Let's see here. Ahab, military victories. Naboth's vineyard. Death in battle. Ahab did evil in the sight of the Lord of God, more than all who were before him. The reign of Jehoshaphat in Judah. 25 years, good, basically. Reign of Ahaziah in Israel. Okay? So we have a kind of a flow. Any questions on that flow? All right. Then on the page 103, summary of content, 1 through 10, success of Solomon, which we just read, sin of Solomon, just read, chapters 12 through 22, split kingdom of Solomon, and it's an interesting study how God, when God allowed it to happen and when he didn't allow it to happen. Let's see, in this section, 1 Kings, the primary focus is on the kings of Israel with a few references to the good kings of Judah like Asa, Jehoshaphat. Let's see, the sins of Israel, of Israel's king continued unabated, culminating in Ahab, Israel's worst king, whose idolatrous, wicked reign lasted 22 years. Aren't you glad where we get to Moses for 8 years? Good or bad. It was during the reign of Ahab that God raised up Elijah, the prophet, to confront Ahab with sin and execute judgment against the priest of Baal. Let's see, Moses Jesus was confirmed by miraculous signs. Ahab's death by God's judgment did not end the wickedness in the north, as his son Ahaziah walked in the way of his father, and so no real change. Key chapters, key passages, and let's see, how many did one of the assignments? Okay, next week, 105. I'm a good teacher. I'm easy. I'm an easy teacher. 112. 112 and 119. So that'll be it next time. Heavenly Father, what we're studying is you're taking up the challenge of making the clean out of the unclean. Making righteous that which is unrighteous. Bringing on the scene your son, your priest, your prophet, your king, our Savior. And Father, as we go through His heritage, we find so much sin. We find so few who walked in righteousness. And yet, Heavenly Father, You dealt with Israel, the church, people, according to Your grace, Your plan, Your love. Father, we thank you for these books. Pray that we will be edified, encouraged by the study of them and understanding them, Father. Pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.